Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Have you ever been around someone that no matter how hard you tried, you could never please them? Have you been around people like that? I mean, you could do everything right. You could try and please them. You could try and do exactly what they wanted you to do. And you try not to get them angry at you or get you upset, but try to make you happy. They're always trying to, you know, you're trying to make them happy. And yet, no matter what you do, they seem to find the stuff, the negative stuff about you to criticize you. And they're really never, ever happy with you. They seem to always focus on the negative about you and can never see past the negative to notice the positive things about you. Well, I want you to understand something. God's not like that. There's a story of a young man. He was always in trouble. So when the parents of the junior high boy received another call to meet with his teacher and the principal, they knew what was coming. The teacher said, "Thanks for coming. I wanted you to hear what I have to say." The father waited, thinking about what defense he could use this time. The teacher proceeded to go down a list of 10 positive affirmations or potential benefits of the junior high, quote, troublemaker. When she finished, the father said, "And what else? Let's hear the bad things." "That's all I wanted to say," she said. That night, when the father got home, he repeated the conversation to his son. Almost overnight, the troublemaker's behavior changed, all because a teacher looked past the negatives to see the potential in the young man. That's what God does with us. God looks past our sin when we put our faith and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. He looks past that, and now He's looking for what positive things are in our lives. He wants us to know that we can please Him. We can please Him in our lives. And that's why this passage is here this morning, to not only show us what faith can do in pleasing Him, but to give us examples of people that live by faith and God looked past their faults, because they did have faults, and accentuated and was pleased with them because of the positives that He saw in their lives through their faith in Him. And that's what I want us to understand today. I want you to know that just like this teacher looked past the student's negatives to see his positive attributes, so God does the same with us. In this passage, we see God list some positive attributes of three men that pleased Him through their faith. As a matter of fact, it was their faith in God that allowed Him to overlook their negatives and focus on their positive attributes. This is taught in verse 6, where it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." You see that in verse 6? Look at it with me for a moment. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." Now, I want you to understand, although it isn't stated in the negative, this verse clearly teaches that we can please God by faith in Him. The positive way of stating this truth is also the truth. So even though it's impossible for us to please Him without faith, it is possible for us to please Him with faith. That's the positive in this. That's what I want us to understand. The teachings of this passage is that we can please God because He points to people that did please Him by their faith. That's the example. That's the teaching here. We can please God with our faith. This verse also gives us two elements of faith that pleases God. making it simple for us to understand what a faith that pleases God looks like. So we're told what to look for in a genuine faith. And it's simple. And I like that. I like simple. I don't know about you, but I like simple. The first element is we must believe that God exists. Okay. We can do that. We can look around us and see that God exists. Remember, we talked about last week that that's one of the foundations of our faith, that we believe in a God who created all that we see, that He created the universe, that He is powerful enough to speak things into existence. So this first element is simply that God exists. This means, this seems pretty simple. But remember from last week that includes a recognition that God is the creator of the universe, and that this is foundational to faith that pleases God. But just believing God exists is not enough to make our faith pleasing to God. There's this second element. There's a second element. Look at James 2:19. It says, "You believe that there is one God. You do well. It's good that you do that. You believe that God exists. But even the demons believe and tremble." So the demons believe that God exists, but they don't have faith, do they? They don't have faith. So there's another element that we need to add to faith in order for it to be a genuine faith that pleases God. So just believing God exists is not enough to make our faith pleasing to God. The second element of pleasing faith is recognition that God will reward us if we follow Him. Look at verse 6 again. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. But he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." You see, that's the second element. The second element of pleasing faith is recognition that God will reward us if we follow Him. Now, as I have talked to many people about the Lord, I find they don't have too much trouble believing that God exists. The trouble comes when they are confronted with circumstances that require them to trust that God's way for their life will benefit them more than any other way. That's where the trouble comes in. You see, when we have to go against what we understand may be best for us and follow God's way, then we start really understanding what real faith in God is. Let me give you a couple examples. As I've talked to people, a young man once asked me, genuinely, he asked this. He said, "What if there is no food in the house for my little brother and I, and I can deal some drugs to get some money for food?" Now think about that for a minute. He was genuine. He was like, what do I do in that circumstance? And this guy was in that circumstance many times before. You could tell by his life. What do I do in that circumstance? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? What do? You have to think, am I going to do what God wants? You know, don't deal drugs. Or am I going to deal the drugs so I can get food? Let me give you another example. A young lady asked me, how could she possibly get a husband if she only could date good Christians? How could she possibly get a husband if she could only date good Christians? Now think about that. The Bible tells us, you know, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, right? So definitely getting married to an unbeliever wouldn't be a good thing. And I think that equal yoke means that, you know, you want someone that's not only, quote, a Christian, but you want someone that's actually, they're living out their faith, right? You can tell that they have this genuine faith that we're talking about here in Hebrews 11. So she asked that, and I was like, that's a good question. I'm going to get to the answer here in a minute.
Is she still single?
Yes, I'll give you her number, all right? Amen, brother. Amen. See, the Lord's going to answer her prayers if she'll just have faith in the Lord. So anyways, another example that you may be thinking of this time of year. You may be saying, how can I pay my bills if I don't cheat on my taxes? Well, that might hit home for someone. I don't know. I just had my taxes done this week and I was like, oof. You know, but think about that for a minute. These are all questions that require one answer from God. You got to trust Him. You have to trust that His way, if you do it His way, He's going to reward you. If you do it His way, it's going to work out better for you than if you don't. That's faith in God. That's what genuine faith is. Faith is saying, I know that if I do what God asks, if I go by Him, if I follow Him and His ways, He's going to reward me for it. Even though I may not understand it. Even though I can't see how it's going to work out. I'm trusting that He's going to do it. I'm trusting He's going to work it out. That's what real faith is. Not only acknowledging that He exists, but actually acting like He exists. Following through on your belief that He exists. And that He will reward you if you do as He asks you to do. So that's what real faith is. It's two elements. This element of recognizing that He exists, and then recognizing that He will reward you if you follow His ways. So this is what we see in the men and women that are presented to us, the people that are presented to us in this chapter. In this chapter, God gives us examples of people who demonstrated this kind of faith in their lives, to show us the many ways this kind of faith will manifest itself in our lives, resulting in His positive affirmation and reward. I want you to understand that's what's going to happen in your life if you'll follow Him by faith. So let's take a look at this passage and see some, see, my notes are all scribbly. See some, didn't write the word, ways that please God as we look at Abel, Enoch, and Noah, okay? Oh, there it is. Some manifestations of faith that please God as we look at Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Okay, did you catch that? Okay, let's look at Abel, Enoch, and Noah, okay? See what kind of faith. Let's see the ways that their faith was manifested in their lives. Okay? Look at verse 4. It says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it he, being dead, still speaks. We can please God by showing our faith in our worship. We can please God by showing our faith in worship. Abel's faith in God was manifested in his worship. Now, giving an offering to God has been a form of worship from the beginning of man's relationship with God. This is shown in the fact that Adam and Eve's sons, Cain and Abel, both gave offerings to God in worship to him. Now, excuse me, Cain and Abel both made offerings to God in worship. However, Cain's offering was rejected by God, while Abel's was accepted and pleasing to God. Now, why did God accept Abel's offering and not Cain's? According to Hebrews 11:4, it was because Abel's offering showed his faith was in God. And obviously, Cain's did not show a faith in God. So you see, some people have said that it was because of the type of offering that Cain gave. It wasn't a blood offering. But there's no evidence that that was the case in the scriptures, that it wasn't because he didn't give a blood offering. There was no recorded instructions by God, although I'm sure there were some instructions, and a case could be made for that, but you couldn't really be dogmatic about it. What we can know is this, that although Cain brought an offering, his procedure was okay. He brought an offering. He went to the Lord and he brought an offering. His procedure was fine. So although that was okay, it wasn't acceptable to God because it wasn't given in faith. It wasn't given by faith, the kind of faith that we just described. It wasn't the kind of faith that says, I know God exists, I revere him, I fear him, and I know that as I give to him, as I follow him, he's going to reward me. He's going to reward me. Now, understand what kind of offering Abel gave. Abel's offering showed that he trusted God would care for him. Look at Genesis 4:4. Look what it says. Genesis 4:4. It says, Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. He brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. There was something about Abel's offering that we don't see about Cain's. I think it was that Abel brought his very best to God. Abel brought his very best to God, the firstborn, and the fat, all the good stuff. I like fat, you know what I'm saying? It makes things taste good, right? And back then, fat was used for a lot of different purposes. So, Abel, he was like, okay, I love God, I respect God, and I know that I can't outgive God because he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I got no problem giving him my best. He can have whatever he wants. He can have all of it. I'm going to give him my best. I'm going to give him the firstborn of my flocks. I'm going to give him that fat that came from it. I'm going to offer it to him. It was the heart of faith that came with the offering that made it acceptable to God. I imagine Cain was not so much like that. Cain, you know, he was a gardener. He probably had fruit trees. He probably had vegetables and all that. Cain didn't bring the first good ones. Maybe he brought the ones that fell on the ground and were a little bumped up and maybe a little bit, you know, bruised and a little bit rotten. And those are the ones that he brought to the Lord. Because he didn't want to sacrifice the best to God because he didn't know that he would make it if he did. You get it? See, he didn't think that God would reward him if he brought his best. Well, That's not a real good faith, is it? That's not the kind of faith God's looking for in us. And it's not so much the offering. Understand this. That I think God was looking for. I think it was the heart behind the offering that God was looking for. And that's what we need to see here. That when Abel brought his offering before God, it was with a heart of faith that said, I can bring my best to God and I know he's going to take care of me. That's what I see here. I don't think Cain had that same attitude. I don't think Cain said, I can bring my best to God and he'll take care of me. That's not what we see. And that's why Cain's offering was rejected, because it didn't come from a heart of faith. Remember, faith in God is demonstrated as we recognize that God exists and he will reward us if we trust in his ways. Now, this really is important. Apparently, Abel did not offer his best to God. Abel knew God would take care of him, even if he gave his very best possessions to God. It was Abel's heart of faith in who God is that pleased him, pleased God. Cain's offering did not reflect a faith in a rewarding God. Abel's offering showed a high esteem for God. You can have a good procedure in your worship, but if it does not come from a heart of faith, it will not please God. I want us to understand that. Does your worship reflect your faith in God? Do your offerings show that you are trusting in God? Do your offerings show that you are trusting in a rewarding God? That he will reward you if you give by faith? Do you trust that God will help you financially if you give 10% of your income and other offerings to him? He said he would if you would do so. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 11. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. You see, many people battle over this promise from God. God says, give 10% of your income, your resources to me, and some offerings, and see what I'll do for you. See if I won't be faithful to you. See if I won't financially bless you. But if you don't, your faith in me really isn't that great. That's basically what he's saying, because you're robbing me. You really don't have faith that I can reward you like I'm saying I will. You don't believe that I'll reward you. You don't believe that I can do this. So it's important for us to see this connection. Jesus himself said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God can look at your offering. God can look at your offering and see if you have a heart of faith. That's what he did with Abel. God looked at his offering and saw his heart of faith. What does God see in your heart when he looks at your offering? Does he see a heart of faith? Does he see a heart of faith, or does he see a heart that's resistant to let go and trust him? That is what we need to understand. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't. What he wants to do is get you to exercise your faith. He wants you to get to exercise your faith. And when you give 10% of your income to God, you're exercising that faith in him. And you're allowing him to show you that you can trust in him. And your faith will grow as you do that. So many have testified to that. That when they started giving like God wanted them to, out of a heart that's trusting in him, their faith in him increased. Why? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's connected. It's connected. So that's what we need to understand here. God testified to Abel's offerings. He will do the same for you. Now, I want you to understand something. God is keeping track of your offerings. That's what we're obviously seeing here. He kept track of Abel's. He kept track of Cain's. He's keeping track of yours. The good thing is this. When he sees you giving to him, trusting that he's going to provide for you, you're pleasing him. You're pleasing God. So you can please God if you'll trust him in your worship of offerings to him. Now, obviously, there's different ways to worship God. But this is the one that God is focusing on right now in his word. That Abel pleased God in his offerings of worship to him. Okay? And we can do the same. We can please God in our offerings of worship to him. Now look at verses 5 and 6. It says, wow, I'm running behind. Okay. This may be a two-part message, okay? You okay with that? All right, good. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We can please God by showing our faith in our conduct. Now, Enoch's faith in God was manifested in his way of life. In Genesis 5:24, we are told that Enoch walked with God. Look at it. It says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, doesn't say a lot about his walk, but we can imply some things about Enoch. Enoch took time to be with God and get to know him. We certainly can apply that from the fact that he walked with God. You know, he spent time with the Lord. He diligently sought the Lord, just like we're told in verse 6 to do. He was willing to be around God. He wanted to be around God. He took time to be with God. The results of this were clearly seen by others, because we are told his life was a testimony to others that he was pleasing God. You know, when you spend time with God, others can see it. When you spend time with God, others notice that. They notice it in your countenance, in your way of life, in your conduct. They know that you have been around God, that you have spent time with God, that you're pleasing God. According to these verses, a life that is great in the eyes of God must be built by faith. That's what we see in verse 6. We see that a life like Enoch's, that was great, must be built by faith. So if we only try to do those things we think we can do on our own without God, we will not please Him. It pleases God when we live by faith in Him, but often we resist and are saddened when opportunities to do so come to pass. Now, think about this for a minute. Are there things in your life that you don't know if you can handle them on your own? Are there things in your life that you just don't know that you could handle them on your own? Well, show your faith in the Lord by conducting yourself in a way that shows others you believe God will work them out. That's what we saw. That's what we see in Enoch. Enoch had problems just like everybody else. Enoch had struggles just like everybody else. But the difference was he had faith in God. Faith that God would work those things out. And it showed in his conduct, in his way of life. He didn't freak out about stuff. When the car broke down, he didn't take a sledgehammer to it, like sometimes we'd like to. He handled things like he knew God was going to work things out. So many times, when opportunities for us to show our faith in God come about, we are disheartened by those opportunities. We resist those opportunities. But those are the very opportunities that we should embrace, because those opportunities will help us manifest our faith to the world, to others. This was Enoch's testimony to the world, that he walked with God, that he had faith in God, that he knew God was going to work things out in his life. We don't know why God took Enoch before he died. We don't. Except that he pleased God in his conduct. Others with great faith died. I think God just wanted to use Enoch as a special example to show that it pleases him when we live our lives by faith. That's what I think. I think God wanted to use Enoch as a special example to show us that it pleases him when we live our lives by faith. If you conduct yourself in a way that shows you have faith in God, he will be pleased with you. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Finally, we can please God by showing our faith in our labor. We can please God by showing our faith in our labor. Noah's faith in God was manifested through his labor. Now, look at James 2:17. It says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Think about that for a minute. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, understand, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You get to go to heaven and have your sins forgiven simply because of the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. The wonderful grace of our Lord, who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins and rose again. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection for your salvation, God gives you his grace and your sins are forgiven and you receive eternal life. However, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, That is the beginning of your faith journey. That is the beginning of your faith journey. And that beginning will start a life that produces good works. It will start a life that produces good works. Genuine faith in Jesus Christ, if it's not dead, is going to produce good works in your life. That's what James is trying to say here. He's not saying good works save you. He's saying when you experience this wonderful salvation in Jesus Christ through grace by faith, you're going to act out your reception of that wonderful gift. Because you have been given this wonderful gift of salvation, you're going to want to serve God. That's what he's saying here. You're going to want to serve God. Now, in verse 7, we're told how Noah labored because of his faith. You see, you're going to labor if you have faith in God. You're going to labor for him if you have faith in him. And in verse 7, we see how Noah labored because of his faith. First, he labored out of reverence for God, even though he couldn't see what God was going to do. Think about that for a minute. It says, not yet seen, moved with fear. So Noah moved with fear, reverence, not afraid, but reverence for God. He labored even though he couldn't see what God was going to do. Now, God told him what he was going to do, but he really couldn't see it. He had really never experienced anything like that. No one had ever. And so he went by faith. He started working on the ark. He started this long process of building this ark simply because he believed God. He reverenced God. He knew that God would do what he said he was going to do, even though he didn't know exactly how it was going to work out. Second, he labored to save his family from both physical and spiritual destruction. Look what it says. He prepared the ark. Okay? He labored to prepare the ark for the saving of his house. Look at that. It says, for the saving of his household. You see that? Now, a couple things about this. First of all, this required a long-term commitment on Noah's part. This required a long-term commitment. He labored 120 years to build the ark. That's a long time. That's a long commitment. But God will increase our faith in him by requiring us to make a large commitment of our time and resources. Understand that. If you're going to grow in your faith in the Lord, you're going to have to grow in your willingness to commit to his work, to work, to make commitments to him. That's part of living a life of faith in Christ. Though skeptical of his teenage son's newfound determination to build muscles, one father followed his teenager to the store for the weightlifting department, where they admired sets of weights. "Please, Dad," pleaded the teen, "I promise I'll use them every day." "I don't know, Michael. It's really a commitment on your part," the father said. "Please, Dad. They're not cheap," the father said. "I'll use them, Dad. I promise. You'll see." Finally won over, the father paid for the equipment and headed for the door. After a few steps, he heard his son behind him say, "What? You mean I have to carry them to the car?" Oh, boy. Son didn't really know what commitment was. You know, when you say, "Lord, I believe in you. I trust in you. You're saying, I'm willing to make a commitment to you, God. I'm willing to commit to whatever you have for me to do. How long it takes, whatever resources it takes. And you know what? That's what Noah did. He said, okay, God, I believe you, and I'm going to commit my time and my resources to do what you have called me to do. And because Noah did that, his household was saved. Because Noah did that, his household was saved. Now, dads, understand something. When you take the lead in your household and put your faith in God, most of the time, your family's going to follow. And we see precedent of that in the Bible. You think about the story of the Philippian jailer, where he said, I believe what you said, Paul, and I'm trusted in Jesus as my Savior. And then his whole house trusted in Jesus as their Savior. And they all got baptized. You see, we can do that. And that's what happened in Noah's life. He said, I'm going to put my faith in God, and I'm going to commit to God. And I'm sure as his family saw his commitment to God, they said, you know what? God's real. And his promises are real. And his word is real. And they trusted in God as well. So, he looked out for their welfare. Now, not only that, thirdly, he labored to tell others of God's wrath to come. Look at 2 Peter 2:5. It says, and God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So, while he was building the ark, he was also telling people why he was building the ark. He told people that God is righteous, and he was going to judge their sin. But if they would believe God and get in the ark, they would be saved. You see, our message is similar to that, isn't it? God's message hasn't changed. Put your faith in God and his plan through his son, Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him because he's going to judge your sin. But if you will put your faith in him and get in the ark with God, accept Christ as your Savior, you'll be saved from God's wrath. That is the message that Noah preached. And because of his faith in God, he told others about the Lord. That's what God, when we tell others about Jesus Christ, when we tell them that Jesus paid for their sins, and that if they want to avoid the wrath or condemnation of God, all they have to do is put their faith in God, in Jesus, they will be saved. When we do that, we're pleasing God. We're pleasing God. You can please God. Tell others about his son, Jesus Christ. And I promise, God will be pleased with you. This showed that God was pleased with Noah when he labored out of faith. And that's what we can do. When we labor for him, when we manifest our faith through worship, through our walk, and through our work, we please God. And that's what God has for us this morning. You can please God. You can please God. That's the message that God has for us. He wants us to know that we can please him. And if we'll put our faith in him, recognizing that he exists, and recognizing that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, you will please him.